Hello, everybody. Welcome to our April meeting of our Hawaiian and Barrel Council. It's glad to see everybody again. Before we start, I'm going to ask Uncle Waiola, you can hear clearly. You good?
What? Oh, yeah.
Good answer. could you start us off with a little guidance, please? Please.
Sure.
Thank you, Uncle.
Okay. Father, well, we come before you now. We thank you for the opportunity of serving in this capacity to show respect for the Ivi of our kupuna. We pray thy spirit to be with us, that we'll be in tune with you and we'll make the perfect decisions for our kupuna, Ivi kupuna. And this we ask for in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mahalo nui loa. Roll call right now. I'll start off. I'm Nalei Kaakalau, representing the district of Hamakua. So good luck to go next.
Lena Blake, representing the district of Puna.
Waiole Higa, Hamakua.
Mahoney, Kau.
Good Norman, you want to introduce yourself?
Looks like he's frozen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we can just say for the record, Uncle Norman is here.
Yes. Waiola, did you chime in yet?
Yeah. What?
Did you set you up with one way to just turn generator on?
A generator is on now.
Okay, so
right now.
Where you stay? Why Manu?
Yeah. Kia Kelpito, burial site specialist.
Okay, mahalo, Kia. Christian?
Christian Omarad, burial site specialist.
Law, were you able to introduce yourself, Law, yet?
Oh, and Uncle Desmond's coming in too right now. Hang on.
Perfect.
There we go.
Hello, Uncle Desmond. We're doing a roll call right now. If you can introduce yourself, please. What district you represent?
Desmond Homea, Ko'u District. Aloha.
Mahalo. I see you just sailed in, Uncle. Mahalo, nui. Mahalo for being here after a long journey on the bar. Mahalo, please.
And I'm hungry, so let's get going.
Okay, my guy, Uncle. I hear that. Loud and clear. Anybody else from the Barrel Program hasn't introduced themselves yet? Lai, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Aloha, La Crivello. I will, I guess, landowner developer position.
So glad to have Law on board. I know she attended one of our meetings a couple of years ago, I think it was. And there was a hope that she'd be on board. So we're really glad the confirmation was completed and she's here. And of course, gentlemen, it's nice to have another female voice on the panel as well. Yeah. So mahalo nui for that. Anybody else need to introduce themselves? Guests, if any of our guests can introduce themselves, that'd be greatly appreciated, please. Even though you might want to stay visually anonymous, if you could just let us know who you are. Mahalo.
Lokelani Brandt from ASM Affiliates.
Mahalo. Aloha.
Aloha kakahi aka. This is Uilani Naipo. He ohana no milulii konohema.
Sala. Mahalo nui. Aloha mai. Aloha.
Keith Kato, Hawaii Island Community Development Corporation.
Aloha kala. Aloha mai.
Jeremy McCumber, also Hawaii Island Community Development Corporation.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Mahalo nui loa. I appreciate this. Okay, so again, everybody, welcome to our April 2021 meeting of our Hawaii Island Borough Council. Aloha. Okay, first item of business are minutes. Approval of the minutes for March 18, 2021.
I move to accept.
Motion's been accepted by Uncle Desmond. Is there a second?
A second.
Seconded by Kalena. Discussion. Any discussions on anything on the agenda from last meeting of March? Anybody? Anyone? Not, then we'll call. If there's no discussion on the minutes or anything right now, then we'll call for the vote. All those in favor, stipulate by saying aye or hapai kulima. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The ayes have it. So the minutes for March 18, 2021 have been approved. Thank you very much, everybody. Now we'll go into our business section of our agenda for today. Business agenda item A is the draft barrel treatment plan for SIHP site number 50-10-28-312244, Honaiki, Aupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, colon, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-3-009:032. Again, this is information discussion. So this is information discussion on the above draft PTP. Again, no determinations have to be made at this time, folks. Yeah, so it's just a discussion and learning what's happening. So I'll turn the time over, I presume, to Lokelani. I'll turn the time over to you. So mahalo nui loa. Mahalo.
All right. Mahalo nui. Aloha, kako. Aloha. As always a pleasure to be here and to be able to share this information with you folks. So like the chairman, Mr. Kahakalo, said, this is just for information and discussion purposes. And you guys are familiar with how I come to council to get early feedback from you folks as these projects are sort of happening before we come back to make a determination. So I put together, I believe you guys got a draft copy of the report. You know, I see it in draft mode, so you see yellow highlights and things like that in there of stuff that we're still working through and filling out. But I put together sort of just a brief presentation that would sort of highlight and go through, you know, the project itself, as well as the identification of the burial on the property. So I'm just going to share screens really quickly. I also wanted to just say too that Keith and Jeremy are our clients, and so they represent HICDC, so they contracted us to do this work. So I just wanted to help to make that connection. I'm gonna share screen really quickly. Okay, you guys can see that. So this is for the Kaloko Affordable Housing Project. The project area itself straddles both the Ahupua'a of Kaloko and Kohanaiki in North Kona. So the project proponent is the Hawaii Island Community Development Corporation. They're a nonprofit agency and they help to coordinate, low-income housing and those sorts of things specifically for Hawaii Island. So, you know, they have a website. If you're interested, you can learn a little bit more about their organization. But they do provide housing for low and moderate income households through the development of self-help coordination projects on Hawaii Island. So they're proposing, HICDC is proposing to construct up to 150 2- and 3-acre bedroom affordable housing units within about 10.775 acre, which is a project area, along with a community center, play areas, and parking for tenants. The target population for this project is for very low income households with children, with at least 5% of the units set aside for eligible families experiencing homelessness, at risk of becoming homeless, or families that are transitioning out of an emergency shelter or transitional housing program. So what I have here is sort of the draft of their site plan. And so this here, this road, this is Hinalani, like driving down to Costco's, Makai going this way, Mauka. And so they're looking to construct right on this particular property here. So you can see there's a couple of sites that were identified on the property, and this one here is the burial site, this slightly smaller one. And we'll sort of work through this map and stuff, but I wanted to sort of outline the archaeology side as well. So in 2020, we were contracted to do an updated inventory survey of the parcel. And so this is, the property had been previously surveyed in 2005 by Scientific Consultant Services, Wolforth et al. And they identified a few sites on the property, but when Shipti reviewed it, they had they wanted to see an updated inventory survey. So we were contracted to go back out and inventory the property. From that, there were four previous sites that were previously courted by Wolfworth, an Ahupua, a boundary wall, a trail, a habitation cave, an ag and habitation complex. And then two new sites that we identified through this survey was a ceremonial complex and a burial site. So we're working all through the 6E process right now. So we're developing a preservation plan for the ceremonial complex and the trail, and then also the burial treatment plan for site 31244, the burial itself.
Question, Luke and Lenny. On those two sites, the burial site and the ceremonial part, when were they discovered?
In 2020, so last year when we did the updated survey. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So this is a site map, shows the property boundaries in red and in the location of the sites itself. So on the northernmost tip is the cave. This larger 10768 is the agriculture habitation complex. This long one going right across, 10714, is the trail. We have a fragment of an Ahupua'a boundary wall here, 10712. And then we have 312. So these two blue dots are the newly identified sites. The yellow represents the previously identified sites. So 31243 is the ceremonial complex. And then site 31244 is the burial, located on the sort of the Ka'u side of the trail.
Oh, Ka'u side.
So this is what the sites look like when they're laid, overlaid. The trail and the ceremonial complexes, you know, like I said, these are going to be preserved as in the development plans. And then we also have the burial located here. So we sort of have this corridor of sites that run right up the center of the property. Yeah. So this was the burial that was identified. We've deemed it a sort of Vaihona Kupa Pa'u because it's a vault, it's an above ground burial vault. When we discovered the site, or you know, there was some moss type growing on top of the capstone, and the capstone was removed as you see in this photo. And so we went in to investigate, and we did a small test unit inside the interior of the burial vault. And when we pulled back some of the stones, that's when we saw what looked to be like a humeral head. And so we stopped. Once we came across that, we stopped the work. But we believe, based on the size of the humeral head that we encountered, we believe it to be a juvenile. Because the site itself, this vault measures about 1 meter by 1.7 meters long. And as you can see, it's inscribed on the capstone with the name Keo or Keo right here in this part. So we believe it to be a historic Hawaiian burial site based on the information that we gathered from our work. So we actually have a sort of a community working group that's helping with the preservation plan. Because this project has both a state and federal nexus. So we pulled together different sort of descendants that come from this part of Kona. And some of them grew up, you know, with this trail in their backyard and would walk it and stuff. And so that's sort of the hui that we're working with as, you know, so far, which includes Makomahealani Pai, Reggie Lee, Paka, Isaac Paka Harp, Nicole Louie, Deborah Chang. We also have Uncle Fred Kachola, Ruth Aloha, Guy Lee, Uncle Solomon Haleamau, Nui Kiana Aina, Jacob Kiana Aina, Kaleo Kuali'i, Nati Hannah Springer. The people that you see highlighted or bolded black, they're the ones that have been more active in attending site visits that we had like this past Sunday, email correspondences, and we also had another meeting last night with the descendants or these folks that are sort of highlighted, or they're the ones that showed up to the meeting. So everyone's being queued in on our emails, but these are the people that have sort of taken, you know, showed up and have really contributed a lot to giving input for the burial and for the preservation plan that we're working on as well. So from our meeting that we had last night with the families, specific to the burial, they're requesting a 20-foot buffer, which I believe is what the project proponent is allowing that we can do for this project. Also, they've also requested to secure to better secure the burial because the trail will be public. And so people would be able to walk up and down the trail in addition to residents that live on the property. They requested for a low-lying wall, maybe something like 3 feet, constructed, you know, with stones from the area. And they would also like to stabilize the burial because it's, you know, the rocks have just been sort of loosely stacked. And you can see part of it is actually dismantled. So the families and descendants, some of them are actually already registered descendants through to Kohanaiki. Yeah. So they would like to see the burial stabilized, even maybe cement the capstone cemented down and all the rocks sort of put back nicely around the burial. They've also support having informational signage that would sort of help guide people's, you know, their conduct and things, you know, not to enter into the burial preserve and things like that. So they would love to see informational signage. They also supported the hand removal of any non-native species that may be growing in there. This project area is, you know, dry land forest type. So there's quite a bit of alahe'e and other native species that still grow in that area. So they would like to see those plants maintained by any non-native removed. And then of course, developing access for lineal and cultural descendants. And so, and that would be to get into the preserve itself. I think that's it for my, that's all that I have for my presentation at this time. So I just wanted to share with you folks what we're doing. I need to confirm with Kia for any other registered descendants that might be still living that's in Kohanaiki that would want to come forward. I'm trying to find Kale family members. We did do searches through the Hawaiian language newspapers and through some census records and things like that, but it returns, there's a lot of names. The Kale name turns up a lot, but none of them that I can actually pin down to this particular area. So that's been a little bit of a challenge. So I'm hoping with the community group, I did have one person reach out to me to say, oh, I knew of this Kale family. You know, maybe it might be an ohana to them. So that's where I'm at with the process. And we're, you know, coordinating with the HICDC on this stuff as well. Yes, but.
Scott? Yeah, I was just wondering on that. I take it that trail is going to be the access to that site?
Yes.
Is that trail going to be left as is in its natural state or is it going to be paved?
No, it's going to be sort of a natural, it's going to stay in its natural state. The project itself, if you look on the site plans where the burial is, you'll see sloping. There's going to be quite a bit of grading that has to happen because of, you know, we're going to be on a slope. So in order to make that area flat, you're going to have to grade up quite a bit of material and bring that material from the Mauka side down to the Makai side of the trail. But so you see a lot of cut slopes and stuff. So I believe the engineer is still working on some of the details for that.
Okay. Before any other council members might have questions, anybody from the Hawaii Island Community Development Corporation has anything to say at this point in time? Uncle, anybody?
Well, I guess, I'd just like to say that we're in favor of preservation. The comments that went over regarding last night's meeting are fine with us. So, we're basically would like to proceed. You know, this is a housing project that Kona needs, and we have the funding for it. And so, you know, that's where we're at. But I think we're okay, to be honest with you.
Mahalo nui for your Ike Manawa Anakala, and mahalo for taking care of our less fortunate. Thank you. Mahalo for that. Brother, you got anything you want to mention to us? Anything right now?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Uilani, anything about this project? Are you here for this project?
No, I'm just listening in regarding Ibi Kupuna. So, no, I have no comments. Thank you.
Mahalo nui. Council member.
I got a question. What street is this on?
So this is off of Hinalani Street, Uncle, as you're coming down.
Okay.
Right on that first big, that big bend before you start to, you know, come down by coming, right? Was it Uluvini? You know where the Habitat for Humanity?
Right.
It's Mauka of that.
In between, on a Keo Kalole Road?
No. It's off of Hinalani on the Kohala side of Hinalani.
The Kohala side?
Yeah.
Our side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Nice place to build something.
Mm-hmm. Kalena?
Hi, Loke.
Hi, Kalena.
I have a couple questions. I was wondering if those other two sites that are affiliated in this preservation have been written up. I was looking to see, and I just see the burial site, and I would love to have a description of what you guys got on those features in the field so that we have a relationship.
Yeah.
So what is next to that burial? And then I was wondering, what's a ceremonial complex? Does that mean it's a heiau? I mean, because see, we don't have a description.
Yeah.
I would love it if you could add those other two sites in that will be preserved with a burial and a good description.
Okay. Yeah, I can also, I can get if you guys wanted the copy of the AIS as well, I can get that to you folks, or I can just include it in the draft, you know, to provide some context.
That would be good. I'm just, how did it come upon, quote unquote, a ceremonial site?
Yeah. So that particular site, in fact, sorry, give me a second, because I have a presentation as well that has a little bit more. That has details on that site, since you folks are interested in that.
You know, so is it a Vahipana? Anybody can do ceremonies. It's, you know, it's kind of broad.
Yeah, it is a pretty broad description for that site. The thing is with this site, it has a lot of different. Its features are very different compared to stuff that there's nothing like that out there. So hold on just a second. Let me share.
The reason I shared it in Kalapana, they declared this place a ceremonial site, and all of a sudden the aliens were landing.
Oh.
So like Kalena said, a better description, you know, what determined a ceremonial site.
So. Yeah. So one of them is that if you look in, you guys can see this figure, good. So this is sort of an aerial, and this would be sort of on the Kohala side of the trail, Mauka of the burial site. So if you look here, this area, this is all paved with pahoehoe, and this is actually an a'a flow. It's on an a'a. So a lot of work went into paving this area. It's, you know, cut or, you know, fragments of pahoehoe that had been fit together. It's terraced and it goes up to a second tier. So it's a pretty elaborate feature, you know, and then around there's some other Kona field system stuff that's, you know, typical of Kona field system. We have the Kuaivi walls, right, cross walls, mounds, and things like that around this area. So we believe this to be sort of like either an important habitation site or something even more significant than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
You know, looking at this long-term preservation measures on page 36, the one in yellow, see it? This thing says, because I just read the recommendation from that working group about a three-foot high wall, small, low wall profile. But this one says the buffer zone could be marked with signs, but no permanent physical barriers along the buffer. What does that mean?
When we first drafted it up, which was earlier in the month, it was before we started meeting with everybody, that was sort of the tentative plan at the time, because there wasn't any definitive, descendants and said, we want a wall. They said, we want a site visit. So we took them on the site visit, which was on Sunday, this past Sunday. And since then, they felt like a wall is appropriate. So what I presented today in the presentation is the most up-to-date sort of thing. So I didn't make it into the draft just yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sorry, I'm only a little bit. I just was wondering. Thanks.
Good. Yeah, so interim preservation measures would be, the fencing, the orange construction fencing, and then, of course, monitoring during all the ground moving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Helena, you had a question?
Yeah, these are little niggly ones. Also on page 36, it talks about the condition of the burial site will be periodically monitored by the landowner. And so I was wondering, first of all, will the landowner be Hawaii Island Community Development? Or who is the landowner if this is for low-income housing? And what does periodic mean? If that is going to be put in there, it would be really nice to have what that means, like in every year, annually, every 2 years, just so it's more explicit.
Okay.
Period, broad and vague.
Yeah. We wanted to have some sort of monitoring, language in there so that if there's anything that, any vandalism, just because it's right there off of the, public trail, we have some language in there that would ensure there's some eyes, looking out for it. But that was just some thoughts that we had, early thoughts. But we can flesh that out some more with HICDC and get more input on that.
And who is the landowner? So are these housing, is it going to be sold to the individuals or is it going to just be managed by a landowner entity, the Hawaii Island Community?
Yeah. Sure. Right now, Hawaii Island Community Development Corporation has fee title to the site. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be leasing the property to a partnership. And the partnership is going to be, we're going to be the general partner in the partnership. And we're bringing in a limited partner who is basically an investor. The project is being financed by low-income housing tax credits. That's a big part of the financing. And, us as a nonprofit has no use for tax credits, but banks and other institutions do. And so they're going to come in and invest in the project. In return, they'll get the tax credits. But we're the general partner, so we're going to be in control of it. This is going to be entirely a rental project, so the ownership will stay in one piece. It's not going to be fragmented among owners, or an association or anything like that. It's going to be by the partnership. And again, we're the general partner.
Thank you.
If I could just elaborate a little bit. So, to kind of get down to specifics, if we're talking about issues related to the site, and it would likely be this guy that has to address those issues.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Young, clean energy. That's good. That's good. Young, clean energy can take plenty.
Yeah,
like I good, good, good. Any other questions, our council members? Anybody?
No, we can have a Ka'ili ceremony on the ceremonial site.
Ah, polole.
Jeremy can get spears up there.
I could be my own for Hamakua. We got ours ready to go. It is a time of year. Lokelani, I just want to say again, mahalo for presentation.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love the PowerPoint presentation. Again, I'm a visual learner, most importantly, and that was very visual. You definitely have a good group of
the working group, yeah.
A working group, yeah, the working group, cultural practitioners and kupuna on that group. I just curious, was Uncle Curtis Tyler I ever contacted to be on that group?
I did. I reached out to him a few times, but I know he only lives in Kona, part-time, and then part-time. He lives on the mainland part-time, so... and the last project I worked with him on for La'aloa, he wasn't doing so well. He was having surgeries and stuff. So I know it's getting harder for him to participate. But I did reach out to him for this particular project because he was involved during the earlier years when Stanford Carr had the property. That was back in about 2005. So But I know we're sort of getting into a different phase now, you know, with some kupuna having to sort of step back on some of these kuleana. But, you know, I try to involve him as much as I can, but I just haven't heard back from him. So I don't want to ho'oluhi and, you know, overextend onto him.
Mahalo nui loa for that. Just that, you know, as we all know, Uncle Curtis has been involved for many years in the concerns of Kona. Just want to make sure you're clear. And any of the Leslie Ohana, Madarises, anybody?
I haven't.
I'm just trying to look for those families that usually come out, yeah, whenever we have Kona concerns. Yeah, and the Madarises are also a family that we usually see. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just check it. Just check it, make sure. Okay. But again, overall, reviewing, I always look at one of the first things I always look at is the treatment and preservation measures. I like what I see. I'm really thrilled to see that not only the burial going to be preserved, but also a ceremonial site. I love ceremonies. See that. Woo! I like to know what kind it is. I would kind of hope that if it's an ag complex, it might be a mapele heiau. We get plenty of luatini, but we hardly have any mapele heiaus.
That'd be nice. That's right.
So one of those. That's right. You know, so it might be something like that. I'm excited by that.
Yeah.
And to perpetuate that trail. I mean, most times in all the years I've served, you know, we get all this information. You see all these wonderful sites and all, and it's wonderful the burial sites are being perpetuated. But when everything else is going to be covered up and destroyed, it's really eha. It's really mm-hmm. eha. So I thank you for that. And also for the developers as well. Mahalo nui loa for that.
Of course, of course.
And again, like many communities, hopefully that ceremonial place can be revitalized. Might bring energy to that place, mm-hmm. Especially with the clientele that will that need that energy. Yeah, that will be staying in that environment and all. So again, I thank you for everything. And so far, I'm liking what I'm seeing for sure. Mahalo nui loa for that. I have one concern, and Kalamai Farm, I'm just going to bring it up only because mm-hmm. it's a concern from a previous issues similar to this, concerns similar to this before, is when we had preserved in place and protected a few burials by another low income or housing area, unfortunately that place ended up becoming a potty site pretty much. So what ended up having to be done is basically that whole place had to be cleared just so that there's more visual, so you can see what's going on, and then the community can help to monitor it as well. But what did happen though, which was cool, is that the community ended up helping us monitor it, which was awesome. So that's what we're hoping to instill as well, community pride, mm-hmm. you know, what I would hope so, and that they would want to monitor as well. But if there's any concern I have, it would just be that, yeah? And it would like in any community.
And I know Uncle Mahalani brought up something too. He was like, oh, you know, with the ceremonial site, we're discussing what sort of buffer would be appropriate. You know, do we put a physical buffer? Do we not? So, you know, we're like, what about a wall? And he said, you know, it's difficult in these sort of situations because when people see a wall, they'll sit on it, you know? So, you know, these are good conversations to have, especially with people who are experienced in working with sort of the long-term effects of the buffers and how they actually get treated by the public. So, what our working group were able to sort of think through some of these more complex preservation measures, you know.
And that's a beautiful working group, yeah, because again, you say some people see a wall, stay off, some people see a wall, sit down. Yeah. Some people see a sign saying stay out, they stay out, then you got the Mahoe man, enter, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Go figure, but it is human nature, and, you know, we try the best we can do, yeah. But mahalo again, I enjoyed the presentation, thank you very much. Very concise, I got a better picture now, a lot clearer, and I thank you very much. Mahalo nui loa for that. Uncle Desmond?
If I could share something, in Tahiti, they build walls and they break glass on top of the wall. Just ancestral knowledge.
Well, that would be good, but the thing is, we have Hiki living on the complex, so, I know. You know.
Anyway. Anybody else, any questions for Loki or anybody?
That was awesome. Awesome presentation. Mahalo, Loki.
You're welcome. So I'll continue, we'll finalize all the details or work them out with HICEC, continue to consult with the community on this as well. And then hopefully I'll be back next month to be able to come back with something more solid to present to you folks when maybe go for determination.
Awesome.
Mahalo nui. Anybody else, anything else for this ohana for today, anybody? Well, if not, thank you so much for your presentation again, everybody. Mahalo nui loa. Please have a great day and weekend. Stay safe and aloha to your families, yeah?
Okay, mahalo nui. Aloha.
We are on the call. Aloha. Okay. Jeremy, aloha. Yeah, okay, you know, perfect. Okay, so the next agenda item is a discussion of Hawaiian Borough Council membership roles, responsibilities. I know anything there, Keiko? I know last time meeting I asked Kinology, he said that the DAGS was, or not DAGS, AG's office was working on that kind of stuff and all, so.
They don't have anything formally prepared yet, but I did kind of want to talk about something just for a couple of minutes in this training. So, recently there's been some concerns. I think it's kind of occurred in the past year. I don't know if you guys recall one of the descendants who came forward on Kona's side, who wanted lineal but ended up getting cultural. Mm-hmm. And, we've been having some concerns about the process. And so, just for your guys, I guess, knowledge, I just kind of wanted to explain a little bit how this process works on our end. Because I know by the time it gets to you, you guys just see a paper that says SHPD recommends people for lineal or cultural, or sometimes their application doesn't quite make it on the agenda. And so, if it's okay, I just wanted to kind of give you guys a little background on the process that happens on our end. So when people submit a descendancy application, I think 90% of the applicants will always apply as lineal. What we do is we verify first that the grave is an identifiable grave. Based on the I do want to say too, none of this is my personal opinion. I don't have personal feelings on how I want to decide whether or not somebody is lineal or cultural. I treat everybody equally. All I do is follow the procedures and the definitions that are in the rules that I work with. And so when somebody submits their application, I check to see if a burial site is identifiable. If it's not, based on definition, somebody can't be a lineal descendant because they need to be able to directly connect to a burial site. If they're cultural, if they don't make it for a lineal, the other thing I check for is that to be a cultural descendant, you have to verify that you are a direct descendant of somebody who either lived or are buried within that ahupua'a. And it is ahupua'a specific, it's not moku specific. So, we'll just say waiakea ahupua'a and hilo. If you're trying to be a cultural descendant to somebody that is buried in waiakea ahupua'a, you have to show that you come from, your family, your ohana comes from waiakea ahupua'a. And then we can make a cultural recommendation, and that's the paper you guys would get from us. Sometimes people don't have enough information on their application, and we reach out back to them to see if they can provide more information. And if they can't, there's two things we can do. If they don't provide more information, we can just wait until they're able to, or we can write a letter saying that we can formalize that deferral and say that SHPD that we have no recommendation to make because the only thing we can do is defer. I know there's been some concerns lately from multiple people that the process is, that people are not being able to go onto the agenda for what they want to come on for. And I just wanted to provide you guys with that process that we do on our end. Did you guys have any questions about what we do?
I don't have a question, but I have a suggestion that perhaps somebody in your media for DLNR can put together a cheat sheet for people that are looking for lineal or cultural descendancy, and they have to file an application that gives the ABCs 1, 2, 3, what can you expect, what kind of documents that you guys need, because I think a lot of people don't know, and they show up at our meeting and get sometimes angry or feel like we're being unfair. And so I just think it would be helpful if the general public knew what their rights are and how to go about it. I'm not trying to make you more work. I was hoping there was some digital person at DLNR that could do that.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember what the application says now, but before the application used to have the two definitions of lineal and cultural descendant, and it lists all the documents that somebody would submit. You know, none of the documents are required. But if somebody can't verify their genealogy or, you know, all that information, then they wouldn't be able to move forward with the application. We would continuously ask them for more information. You know, the other thing I forgot to mention is, I want you guys to remember that you guys do have the final say over whether you guys want to recognize somebody as a lineal or cultural descendant. You know, we just make the recommendation based on the information that's provided to us. And in the end, you know, whether it's more commonly, it would be if somebody, if we were saying we recommend somebody as a lineal, but you guys didn't feel that they meet that qualification, you guys could give them cultural. And, you know, vice versa. If we did cultural and you felt somebody was lineal, it's not common, but other councils have, I think you guys have done that once or twice too. I don't know what the implications of that might be, but yeah, in the end, you guys do have the final say over whether somebody gets recognized as one or the other, or they don't get recognized at all.
Scott?
Yeah, I think the problem that you brought up, I think that belonged to when the guy applied for lineal and was he didn't pass the lineal specs, but they gave him cultural. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be the main problem. You have two different applications, lineal or cultural. So if they don't make lineal, they should just be denied, and the only option is to come back and apply as cultural, because when you give them cultural that they don't want, then that's where that problem, I'm pretty sure that you're talking about, started, because he didn't want cultural. He wanted lineal. So, mm-hmm. And he felt he was cultural. But, you know, that's a whole other problem. But I think since you have two different applications, you know, if they're applying for either one and they don't meet those standards, then they should be deferred or denied or whatever. And they got to figure it out that the next move is to try for the other one.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel.
Malo, Scott, and again, Kim, we talk about lineal. That's lineal to the burial sites we're talking about within the burial treatment plan, correct?
It can be any burial. So it doesn't always have to be a burial that's before your guys' determination. It can be somebody can still come forward for a burial that you guys reviewed for a project that you guys reviewed, you know, last year or 2 years ago. Somebody can still come forward. Or even if it's a burial that's only being registered. And so if there is a historic grave, you know, with a headstone and some kind of evidence that the burial is there, and it's just on, you know, a random property, they can still come forward as a descendant for that grave as well. But yeah, so lineal will be to a specific grave and to a specific grave. And, you know, that's actually another good point that you brought up. One of the other concerns somebody had recently is that, you know, we're not moving forward with her application, but she's trying to, this individual is trying to come forward as a descendant to the entire moku. So, you know, we had to inform the person that you can't come forward for the entire moku. You know, you can't be a descendant to Kona or Kau or Hilo. You know, for cultural and lineal descendant, it's to a specific grave. So the grave needs to be identified. Even if you can't identify the person that is buried there, the grave needs to be identified. You need to say, I'm coming forward for this grave located on this parcel. Yeah.
Sorry, real quickly, before I forget, yeah, OG memory nowadays. So again, they don't have to actually mention the name of that person in the grave. Main thing, they know that they're related to that person in the grave, that site.
So if somebody were to submit that application to us, I would still go by cultural, because I wouldn't be able to do lineal because they can't identify the person in the grave. So we wouldn't be able to verify whether or not they're actually a direct descendant of that individual.
Okay, because the way you just explained it is the way I understood it before, where they would have to say, this is Uncle Kavika, this is Auntie Mary, you know, they know exactly.
For lineal, yes. Yeah. For lineal, that's correct. For lineal, that is correct. They need to identify the person.
Because that's one of the things we were told before, because when we started identifying the burials in YPL, because many of them are not registered and not markers, we would take the uncles and aunties that were around at that time, and they would say, this is Auntie so-and-so, and we'd have to mark it down and draw it out, you know, with their permission, so we knew who was where. But more importantly, we told them, please bring a younger person in your family so they would know who's there, so that we could identify it. So we made a courageous attempt to try to our best to protect, at least in YPL, the burials in there, The next place we'll go over to Waimanu, or as time permits, Anyway, okay, I just want to make sure, because we always knew that they had to say, this is Uncle so-and-so, Auntie so-and-so, or they had to know who that person was.
So that is correct for lineal. However, for cultural, somebody could just say, you know, if there's a burial located in, we can say YPO, there's a burial located in YPO, you don't know exactly who that is, you can't name the person, but you know that your ohana comes from YPO, then you can come forward as a cultural descendant, because you can show, yes, my ohana came from YPO, and I can show you genealogically that my great-great-grandma, great-great-great-grandfather was awarded land in YPO, you know? So you can come forward as a cultural descendant for that. But outside of Moku specific, you cannot say though that, I want to apply as a cultural descendant for all of the graves in YPO. That wouldn't be able to work because you're not a descendant to an area. You're a descendant to a person or a set of remain, Eevee.
And
lies a very situation that they're all related.
Yeah.
But in the valley is all ohana. They are family. they're all related. We're all related. We're all related somehow. We're all connected.
That's a great point, because it's designed for post contact. It voids those that have ancestral ties to this Eevee. And many of those Eevees were former Ohana Va. They came via Va'a, landing on these shores. And a lot of them were of Ali'i status, and they were protected. So to really regulate someone's lineage, to pre-contact, that prevents that. Because as we know, many of our families have migrated here from Marquesas, from Tahiti. As we said in Lokelani's presentation, she mentioned Pa'au. So this is all for post-contact. Wow, although for myself, I have lineal, I have family from Marquesas that's buried here. But we don't know where they are, but they did come. And not written, but in Oli.
Good.
Yeah, so.
The question is this: if you're in YPO and you get one family grave with 10 graves all marked, and everyone, and on the side there's an unmarked grave that nobody really knows. So now, even though that guy is near all of my family, I cannot claim lineal. I only can claim cultural, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I'm not grave specific. Even though my family's around it. So that's an unknown grave. So I cannot claim that as my ohana, right?
Based on our definitions, no. You would need to be able to identify the person.
Right. Okay.
Because if not, I know this might not be the best way of saying it, but then, at that point, it's almost like it's an assumption that you're assuming who that person was. And I'm sure based on our pattern that would be ohana, but again, based on the definition, you would have to be able to identify that person, because you would have to show that you are a direct descendant of that person. And if you weren't able to verify who that person was, you wouldn't be able to show that you were a direct descendant of that person.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. La, you had a question.
Yeah, just to clarify, in using the same example Scott used, so that in that sense, though, the burial that's not identified no one can claim lineal. So any descendant that does claim that burial, or you know, that kupuna, would be saying that they are a cultural descendant. So then everyone's on this, you know, it's just kind of everyone's on the same level when it comes to decisions of how that burial is going to be protected and how they're going to malama it. There is no lineal. So they're all, but all cultural descendants are technically still in some form a lineal descendant. We're just saying that we don't know who that is, but because our ohana came from that space, we are saying our ohana was here and this person clearly is from here, so we take care of them too. With the idea, there is still sort of that assumption that we're gonna malama this this person, and we don't know who it is, so we don't know whether we are or not related to them, but they are from the same space as us, and it is still our kuleana. And it and then with lineal, it seems like we're just saying, oh, we know who this kupuna is. And so there are some people who can say, I am related to this person. And so you do have a little bit more, you can vocalize a little bit more how you want to take care of your ohana that you know is yours, mm-hmm. over someone who isn't actually related to them. But that's only in the case that there is a lineal descendant that's recognized. So, I mean, cultural descendants are still technically mo'opuna of the burial sites that aren't identified.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of a good point about like all the cultural descendants kind of being at the same level. And that's why, you know, like I said earlier, I just treat everybody equally based on our definitions. You know, if I know somebody, that's great, but I'm still going to review their application the way I review anybody else's, because if I decide that it would be okay to recognize as some, on my end, to recommend that somebody be recognized as a lineal, even though they weren't able to show that definitive connection, you know, what happens when, you know, 2 or 3 months down the line, somebody else comes forward and says, oh, you know, actually I'm a lineal descendant, or I'm lineal or cultural. And, you know, it's like, then I gave somebody lineal who now I put somebody ahead of somebody else, when now this person will not get as much say as this person. But they were actually just at the same level. The middle person they're claiming to could have just been, you know, auntie, uncle, but now somebody's getting more say than the other person in their family, but neither of, because this person wasn't able to get the lineal. And, you know, I think that's why it can get kind of messy. And that's why I wanted to let you guys know, when I do these applications, you know, to the best of our ability, we just treat everybody completely equal on how we review the application, just to keep things from getting messy in the event other descendants come forward and they're like, oh, but you gave them lineal, they weren't able to completely identify who that was, or you know, all that. Yeah, I've seen it get messy before, and it's not fun.
Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna throw in one other crimp. What happens when you're dealing with somebody who's Hanai?
So we're talking about
Puna now.
That's another one that I think we're.
Well, yeah, like we had that situation. With Kioni Ma. Kioni. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, with Kioni Ma. Yeah, exactly.
That's another one that I think we're still kind of working on the exact definition. But I know that person's application was kind of incomplete as well. So, you know, I've been trying to reach out, but I haven't gotten a response back yet.
You know, again, it's funny.
I did like what Uncle Desmond mentioned earlier, whether it's based on traditional protocols or contemporary protocols. Yeah, I mean, there is a big difference. There's a big difference.
You know, this is surprising that over 30 years later, we're trying to cross the same bridge. The same problem came up in Honokahau when we tried to say, hey, that's our kupuna. Well, you cannot prove that's your kupuna. We just can tell by the way they're buried, and not really in a Kanaka Maoli style, but really in a Polynesian style. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And was really nice, because then the state of Hawaii came up with definitions that allowed them to operate, that removed our mana'o, or our assumptions, as they put it. And that's where we're at today, is those definitions. Mm-hmm. So it's important to understand that this bridge as we've been trying to cross this bridge, you know, from Honokahau and even at the sand dunes in on Maui, same thing. Uncle Les, you know, they really pushed it. That's our family. How do you know it's this family? We were raised here in Kahakaloa and in this area. So many of our kupuna were buried here, especially after the when Kamehameha started, you know, that battle up to Iao. And that's what frustrates me, because it prevents a lot of family, like, you know, I have a kau, there's so many, you know, but because they cannot say, that's my uncle. But I know through Olelo or Mo Olelo that our family is from that area. Mm-hmm. But because of changes that came after I'll say the overthrow, that they were removed, yeah. And you know, I feel sorry for the, not sorry, I just, you know, sitting in a council and like you care, you're handcuffed, basically, and trying to find solutions. And that's really awesome. I mahalo you for that. But I understand the struggle in trying to figure out, like Law said, you know, between cultural and lineal. So that's all. I'm done venting.
Thank you for that. Law, you have something else?
I just had one, you know. So because it does fall under the burial council to make this decision, would it be appropriate for there to be a discussion amongst this specific, you know, Hawaii Island Burial Council to develop a criteria of our own, say, because I think one of the things that I was thinking about when you said, when Anakala Nelly said, you know, Hanai, we respect Hanai as Ohana. We don't really differentiate. If you Hanai by someone, that's your Ohana. So I also, you know, you go farther back and you had Po'olua, you had children that had two fathers, and we recognize both of them. We don't really, you know, we can talk about the logistics of biological, but we recognize both as father, their father, and we don't split that line and say, oh, well, technically that's not family. That's not, that's a Western concept. So then if the Hawaii Island Burial Council decided that they feel it's appropriate to recognize that on a cultural level, and they make that decision, and that's the criteria that they're, you know, but then they've developed a criteria where they're, it's consistent, it's not, you know, case by case basis, but it's, that's the criteria, we acknowledge that and we recognize that as Ohana, is that appropriate, or would that be, and that would be a discussion, I guess.
I almost feel like if it was consistent, it would actually be worse, because right now, I don't know how often somebody tries to come forward as a Hanai, tries to come forward through descendancy through Hanai, but then, you know, what happens at that point is it's precedence. In the future, where is the line drawn? At that point, anybody's going to start submitting their application saying, oh no, I want to be a lineal, I'm Hanai. And, you know, without bringing any kind of, I don't know how to say this. Okay, I'll just say there's people that come from elsewhere and come here and you know, get Hanai by just anybody down in, you know, Puna or Kona, or, you know, where is the line drawn at that point where you say, and then this goes back to like the picking and choosing. Okay, I think we'll accept you as Hanai because you seem more legit, but no, we're not going to accept you as Hanai. You know, I think that's why I need to follow the rules, because, you know, I'm an employee of the state, so I have to follow the rules. At the same time, that's kind of why I also choose to follow the rules, because then if not, I become biased to different people that I come across. And I rather just treat everybody equally across the board. And I, you know, that's my opinion, but that is how I need to process our paperwork as well. You know, as a state employee, I wouldn't be able to pick anyway of saying, oh, yeah, I think I trust you, so that might be okay. And that's why for this specific issue, that's why we're working with the AG office to see how exactly all of this would proceed and move forward and whatnot.
Well, then I guess, oh, Kalamai, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I guess then in that sense, my other mana'o would be that even when we submit applications as descendants now, you have to prove, you know, your ohana was with living within a space back. You can't say right now, you know, you have to prove back to a certain, there's a, might not be an exact date because I don't, I'm not confident on this, but I guess that's where I'm, my question and what I'm posing is the idea of a discussion to develop a criteria, and that criteria could include parameters like, you know, this far back kind, because we don't really do, I guess we kind of still do, but po'olua and, you know, hanai is different now than it was before. And so, you know, what would be the time frame that we would feel that that's an appropriate thing to recognize, and at what point down the timeline is it no longer something that you acknowledge? So I guess the discussion more than the actual, the development of a set criteria just in general. And if that's not something that's appropriate, then just deciding, you know what, we're not going to acknowledge when you're Hanai or when you have these other cultural traditions come into play. But I think just knowing what that criteria would actually be for this council would be is something that you're talking about too, because you know there are rules in place, but they're not all specific to the case by case basis. So what is that? What does that look like? I guess is my thought.
Yeah, exactly. Personally, you know, I would want you to you better do your job. You'd better be biased. You better be fair to everyone, and no less. But understand that, you, like I said earlier, you're handcuffed to follow those rules. But be aware that there are other aspects of our Iwi Kupuna that we as a council needs to protect and view. And we got to be free from assumptions because of what Lau is saying, what everybody in this council says, that we cannot really be governed by that. Yeah, that's why the importance of the mo'oku auhau. You know, I'm sure everybody who has experienced a pōwhiri where they can go 27 generations back. You know, I don't expect us to do the same, but just understand that, yeah, you better do your job. I wouldn't want no less. I pretty much can speak for the rest of our council that it's important that we have you in that position to define who is who. And mahalo for that, but just know that we have our kuleana too to protect our iwi kupuna too. So mahalo for that. Okay, I move to adjourn.
That's discussion with regards to the lineal cultural descendants. Anything? Kalana?
I just wanted to add one more to scramble the mix. Is I was thinking about, I did the ancestry DNA test. And
I'm related to so many people.
The Medeiros, the Leslies, and I don't know them, but I know that we're all related and I see it in the DNA. So like, what do you do with that? I'm not saying to answer that question, but I'm just like Des said, we're all related. All of us are related. And so if I could prove my DNA test, look, I'm Clarence knows who that is buried there, and I'm related to Clarence. Does that mean, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to throw scrambles in there.
Well, mahalo for that one, Kalena. You're right. What about all these testings nowadays? Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other level, right? Shifty's going to say, okay, you got to get your DNA test and verify whether you're a lineal culture nowadays. But, you know, people are doing it to validate, and I've seen a lot of surprises based on that, you know, for and against. Yeah. And by the way, folks, if you believe in migration, we do have Negroid blood in us. So just, anyway, if you believe in long-term migrations, 50,000 years plus.
I think that could, I was thinking about Hawaiian homes with that one. I was like, what if it tells you you're more Hawaiian than you thought you were? Can you get Hawaiian homes now? Like, does it do that? Does that count?
You know, with Ancestry, you may be qualified for additional funding and grants because we can check the box, African-American.
Multi-mixed.
Number that box, multi-mix.
Well, I'm just gonna mention here, folks. Just so you guys know, there is a working group that was formulated about a month or so ago. It does have a Hawaiian name to it right now. It's called Hui. I'll make sure. Hui Ola Naivi. And the primary purpose of this working group was to establish a group that would look at the Shifty processes. After 30 years, there's been a historical record that the song has remained the same. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely systemic, which means it's part of the system. You know, I'm not really one to want to point fingers at individuals. Although if you chose to be in those positions and you knew that it's been systemic and you're still continuing those processes, it does beg the question whether you're aiding and abetting. that's how I look at it. But I'm more looking at pointing at the system in terms of the pedicure we're having with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was a resolution that was submitted by the Senate. It's Senate Resolution 171, and of course, Senate Draft 171, that is asked for the establishment of that working group. Of course, OHA, it seems like, may help to sponsor it, and the law school will help to oversee the process. And just so you know, some of the members of this working group are like Malia Akutagawa, Kai Markel, Hale Aloha Ayao, I mean, the person who actually initiated the initial barrel treatment laws and all. We got Monica Saris, we got Auli'i Mitchell. We had Hina on there, folks, but just so you know, Hina was not reappointed to her position as a sitting member of the Oahu Barrel Council, and she was the chair, yeah? Some of the thoughts out there might be because of her strong opposition to the way things are going now, and of course, to her strong opposition of certain concerns that are happening on Oahu. Right now, I'm gonna just put it in the realm of conspiracies. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm seeing more evidence to support that probably happened. From what we've been seeing in our meetings, but we do meet on Mondays. But there are definitely the chairs of the various barrel councils are part of this discussion as well. And the whole thing is just, again, to have a review process, to review the Shifty and their and the pedicure that's been happening. In terms of why it was not able to fulfill its obligation to the Ivy, to not only the Ivy, but also the descendants, literal and cultural, and to the community, yeah? And of course, that would also implicate to me DLNR as well. So I'm looking more at the organizations. Yeah, and of course, from there, it's the state. I mean, you know, because my experience has been at least 95% of the barrel specialists that I worked with have had the honor, privilege of working with or knew are honorable people. Now, I know I only said 95%. There are a few of them that were kind of sketchy and had concerns about, yeah? And, you know, I'm going to just put out there as far as cultural EK and all too is that shortly afterwards, those few individuals didn't live much longer after they were either the state historic preservation specialist or had moved on from that job. They transitioned to the next realm shortly thereafter. From a cultural perspective, a lens, I see that, okay, it kind of validates some of our concerns we had. But again, for the most part, I've seen, again, the specialists have been very honorable people trying their best to kokua. And again, for most part, most of them are Kanaka Maoli, so I presume that their interest is to protect the Ivy, to make sure the Ivy are stay there. But again, they do have parameters they have to work within, yeah? Okay, so the idea is, again, just to bring it to the forefront, to start to have that discussion, to start to have public hearings so people can submit testimony. Again, as council members, everything you've been mentioning in all these meetings are very valid concerns that we're hearing from everybody. I wouldn't mind, as a chair at this present time, for you to be able to start documenting some of these things, like what we talked about today about the linear cultural descendancies, yeah? Kai has been sending a lot of historical information, some things that, you know, maybe because of a historical trauma, sometimes sitting on the barrel council, I kind of put to the back of my mind. But when he's showing me, I'm like, whoa. I mean, like, he's showing the process that is used, at least since 2000, to identify inadvertence and all. And it was so complex and so messed up. It was unbelievable. I don't even know how you can even call that a flow chart. You know, it looked like a casualty chart, the way everything was banging into each other. I mean, I could even show you on screen. I just got that one this morning. I can show you that one on screen if the guy can share the screen. But anyway, this working group we feel is very important. It is right now asking the Barrel Council to be on there. Like I said, we do have the support of the Richardson Law School, again, from even Kapua Sprouts, which is awesome. Malia Akutagawa. So it's exciting. And of course, at the same time, it is a working group, so it's a resolution to review the Shifty processes, especially with regards to the borough councils and all too, and then, of course, offer recommendation to the Senate, yeah? Okay? Now, there was an identical bill that was submitted to the a resolution as well to the in the House. I think as far as the Senate at least the draft that they came up with, out of 11 points, they only changed one, and that was in getting OHA more involved. I mean, it was a positive change, where in the House version, they watered down everything. They watered down everything. So right now, it's supposed to be a concurrent resolution, but we were told that we do not have to have a concurrent resolution. Along one of the House's passes, we can go with that. It's a standalone resolution. Of course, some people claim that if both houses don't support it, then therefore you don't have total support of the legislature. But in this case, we know we got the support of the senators. In my mind, as a political science major, the senators are more important than representatives, as far as even hierarchy. That's why they serve longer terms and all. A little more prestigious position. It's more of a prestigious position. Maybe it's not confrontational. And of course, and like we said, the House just watered it down, man. I mean, nothing that we were hoping to get within the working group was in there. So we decided just to go with the Senate one. And we were told by both Senator Miley Shibabukuru. And I just want to also let you know, folks, that almost every senator in this island was supportive of the bill, which is even Senator Lorraine Inouye. In fact, she is the one who initiated this resolution. And usually when it comes to Hawaiian issues, she's usually adamantly against it. You know, so I was very impressed with that. But she felt because you were dealing with Evie, I mean, nobody should mess with anybody's Evie, no matter who it is, you know? So the work committee, she was able to get it through. And then and it was her suggestion and Miley Shimabukuru's suggestion, both senators, that we just stay with the Senate draft because it basically complies with everything we're asking for. So just to give you guys a heads up on that. And apparently both the CEO and the Sylvia Hussey and Hulu Lindsay, which is the chairperson of OHA right now, are in support of this. Yeah. And we would hope so, since this is a Hawaiian organization that claims that they are Malama Ivi. It is even in the reports. Although again, remember when Honokaha started, OHA signed off on it. Remember that, folks. Yeah. So there's always that history that we cannot forget either. Yeah. That, even though OHA, and so to me, yeah, you have to stand up and do something because you started this BS years ago by signing off on it. Yeah. Of course, we can always say OHA was in its fledgling years, you know, only 3 years after it, but you know, it don't matter.
You're an
organization and you're there to protect Hawaiian concerns, you should have done that from day one. You know, so I just want to point that historical thing out and then where we're going in the future of this, folks. So always, your support is always appreciated. If you have any concerns or anything, let me know. I can send you information that I have so far. I know that next week, Wednesday, we did a social distancing type of a press release back about a month ago on Oahu. And of course, it is going to happen again next week. So if anybody's interested in doing a little video clip that you want to send to me that I can send off to them, that'll be fine. And I'm going to do one again, specifically focusing on the Waipio area. And then also I'm going to draw attention to, again, the non-reappointment of Hina, because it does beg the question, what happened there? It's really, really fishy, really, really fishy. Yeah. But I need a few more facts before I can, so I can move from the conspiracy realm into the factual realm. Yeah. You know, in case we're getting fake news, but again, with the group that we're sitting with, these are again, very honorable people. I've had that privilege of working with some of them for 30 plus years now, and I honor their iki and what they do. So mahalo nui. Any questions on that, folks? Anybody right now? Anybody? I know Scott was at the one of the meetings one time. Mahalo, Scott, for being there that time. Hard to talk because you agree with everything they're saying. So you do chiming in. So a lot of it's just quiet. We just put our thumbs up, you know, because we agree. And also like Kolea Fukumitsu is also on there as well. He was in that new movie, Hawaiian Sun. They just came out, and also his father is Keoki Fukumitsu, and they're presently dealing with some horrendous burial issues in Hakipuʻu. There's a lot of grading and stuff happening in there. So him and his wife are also part of the group as well. So I think just throw out some names of people you might know or do know for sure. So any questions, folks? Anybody about any of that right now? Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, many of the things that we plan to discuss and talk about are exactly what we've been talking about all these years in our meetings. I wish Brother Clifford was here today. This would be a great opportunity for him to be part of. He got to be Malie, that's all. You know? There's a time to kue, the time you got to be ha-ha, you know? But anyway, because this is definitely right up his alley. But again, anybody has any thoughts or ideas, please let me know how we can get this going. Mahalo, folks. Thank you. So right now, as far as I can see for our agenda, man, that's about it. Ohana. Announcements. We have the next HIBC meeting is Thursday, May 20th, 2021, 9:30 a.m. Location to be determined. I presume as far as right now, it'll probably be Zoom, but of course we'll wait and see how that turns out. There is one thing I am just going to bring up right now. It's the very back. It's kind of like the fine print on a contract that sometimes we don't read. Okay, I look at the agenda. I'm good. Well, I noticed it seemed to be a lot longer this time, so I thought I better read this to see what's in here.
I read it.
And then what did draw my attention is the very first paragraph. It mentions here about all interested persons shall be afforded an opportunity to present oral testimony or submit data, views, or arguments in writing or agenda items. And apparently, I was already off the borough council that time, but apparently on November 17th, our borough council, November 17, 2005, our borough council additionally pursuant to a policy adopted by the Hawaiian Borough Council at its November 17, 2005 meeting, oral testimony for items listed on the agenda is limited to 3 minutes per person per agenda item. Just so you know, so that's in there, yeah? I'm just gonna speak from my own behalf. This is Mana'o Vale no, is I have a hard time telling the Kupuna folks they only got 3 minutes. I'm just letting you know that one, man. I know it's been one of the areas where I've been criticized in the past, definitely in my earlier years when I sat as chairperson, is just allowing meetings to maybe go on forever. But again, I felt if a person drove miles, especially on our island, to give testimony, that they should have that opportunity to talk. Unless it's becoming redundant, you know, we're hearing the same thing over and over and over again. So I'm just gonna express that. I mean, it is a policy right now that's there. And of course, and the reality of anybody who wants to speak, I just have a hard time with anybody limited to just 3 minutes, especially if it's a heavy duty item. That's a lot, you know, that's a lot to expect somebody to do in just 3 minutes. And that's where I'm at with that. I don't need to have this discussion with it. But at least, like I said, thank goodness I read that. You know, I got to read the fine print again. I got to read the fine print to make sure I know what's going on here. But I just wanted to mention that right now it is down to 3 minutes per person. And I said, I'm just going to have a hard time telling, especially Kupuna. No can. Yeah.
Oh, but yeah. So no, that's always, I think that's been on there forever, actually. All I did was copy and paste throughout all the years. But I mean, you know, that's up to you guys to actually enforce. If for some reason you guys ever needed to use it, you guys could. But I know, I mean, at least since I've been either on the burial council or with SHPD, I mean, that was never enforced. So,
I've never seen it done. Mahalo, you know. Yeah. Of course, sometimes I've in the past, you know, finally we got to move on. But again, I'm here for this, man. You know, it's a very important issue because as the dialectal discussion is going on, as we see here with even our discussion, that somebody, another council member asks a question, something comes up, oh, you have a question that comes up, yeah? I mean, that's what happens as the kuka takes place. Ideas are brought forth, yeah? That's mm-hmm. how discussions take place. So yeah, I feel that's very, very important, you know? So I just want to let everybody know that I'm hoping I don't see, hey, no, it says 3 minutes, bro, you know, so, in the chat room or something, because I'm going, huh? You know, delete? okay, my guy. I don't know about Kale's got control over there, but one thing I like about our classrooms, at least as a teacher in Zoom, if a student's acting up, you can kick them out of the room. Like James Bond, kick somebody out of their car. Oh, they're fake. Uncle, you kicked me out? Yeah, bro.
they end up like a black and white movie, a kung fu movie.
Yeah, it's a
you know,
that unrequired behavior stops. But anyway,
yeah,
very interesting. But anyway, yes. But mahalo nui for that. Thank you. Okay, there's nothing else then. Is brunch ready, bro? Brunch ready?
I want food credit, man.
Okay, you know, then if we have nothing else, folks, if we can have a motion to
I made a motion earlier. Everybody thought I was joking. Actually, I wasn't. I moved to adjourn.
we got a motion by Uncle Desmond to adjourn and Kalena to second the motion to adjourn. Any discussion on that motion?
Mute everybody.
Over your 3 minutes, Nile.
How's that?
Come on, going over your 3 minutes back there.
Hey, you heard what I said, huh? We're turn off all clocks. All clocks go turn off. of course, any other discussion? And mahalo, everybody, again, for being here. Thank you so much. It's definitely an honor and privilege to be part of this council. When I hear some of the horror stories, some of the other councils, like, wow, man, you know, we're
black. Yeah.
And it's definitely an honor and privilege to sit here with all of you. Thank you, La, for being here as well. Mahalo nui for this.
Awesome. Yeah, La.
Thank you very much. So, of course, after we vote, Uncle Desmond, if you don't mind, if you can send us on our way, please, after we power vote with a pule, if you can end with us with a pule after we power vote, if can. Hiki no?
Hiki no. I want to ask if I could recite a kanikau. The last time we did this was years ago on Sarawal. It's important to know that, you know, our kupuna, our Ivi kupuna, when they were in full physical form, they voyaged thousands of miles, not knowing where they're going to end up. Then they arrived on our shores and they flourished. And it's also an important point to know that we're understanding. I teach it to my students that on the va'a, Hokulea is our mama. She keeps us dry at times. She keeps us safe, keeps us very well fed. Then the po is our papa. His only kuleana is to make sure that he returns us back to our families. And to have lived and breathed in the ancestral realm where all the only resource you have is kupuna. You know, that's the song, Million of Stars in the Sky. And one of our po just went home.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you guys would like, I'll recite that kanikau.
That'd be nice, Uncle. So first we're gonna vote for the dismissal of the meeting, and then if you can end us with that kanikau, that'd be awesome, Anakala, please. And
okay.
I know I can also speak for our community in Hamakua and Waimea. We've lost a lot of elders in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
A lot of them in their 60s, even. I mean, that's young nowadays. But we lost quite a few, and it's really eha. When you know that some have gone home, but again, knowing that I'll see them again when it's my turn. So a motion has been made by Uncle Desmond and seconded by Kalena to dismiss our meeting today of April 15th, 2021. All those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye, raising your hand. Aye. All those opposed? Okay, then Uncle Desmond, if you can send us on a merry way, mahalo nui loa for that. Thank you.
Yeah, so I won't do it in Oli. I'll just read it to everyone and understand that I might not make it through. Because Hokulea had weaved the lay of aloha. Yeah? We're going to weave another lay next year, the Mona Nui Akea, which we're preparing for. We're supposed to launch, but because of events, we're postponed to next year. When we touch every shore that touches our Great Pacific. He po kanikau. Pa maila he makani. I ala o ke moe elehua he makani. Puanoanu he makani kona hau. He makani uhe ki keo keo no. Wa kui mai he lono. Wa kani mai ka papa va'a. Wa lele ka hoaka. Olele ka uhane I ke aloho I ole mai. O kani ke kalepa pili ele. Pili a ele. O uhi lei hala I a kawaa e. U e popano pano kalani. Haveve. Na wewe ka honua. Kuhuluku. O kaikai ka moana ua malino mai. Kalepa lepa na lei hulu he o mai ka e hano. Ho o hano hano. Wakao I ka hano o Ted Kalepa Babayan. E ke kapena ku u kapena. E ka me enui ku u me enui. He makua oa nā māko. He makua o ke ohana waa. O I ke kea o I ka e eloa I piha mao koupea. O oi ka hōku e alakai ana I a māko. O oi ka mea e ho o lauhoe I na kanaka. Oe ka mea I kia o ho'okahi ka mako. Ua mai au oe, o mai kai mako. E Hawaii loa o ke iki o ke aloha o ka mana. Oe ka ho'opae I hiki ana I ka lia. Oe ka imi I ka fafaite o na ao e lua faaitoito. Oe ka imi loa o ke hae hohonu o ka lani lipo. Oe ka hoku lea I ka holo. Ua lea ka holo ia o I ka ho'okele nui, ka ho'okele pō. Ina kai o e walu I hula ai ka wa'a, ina pā nā moku. I nihoa I ke walo o nā pā liloa e hohihi kupuna. Ku ke aho a pā o luna, pā o lalo, hana ia ka wa'a. I moku mana mana e mana i ai ka wa'a. E kaula kahi I ka malu o ni hao moku e ke kaula. I hana le ka pai na wa'a mua I ke keiki. O waho ka mole o na wa'a, I molokai ho I ka pili. O ilanai ka malu ke loea, I mau I ka, ha, ka one hanao, I ka ho'o lawi, e ho'o la homoi. E moa, o leiki e moa u lanui ho e mai ka ua. E ho na ka naia ola ka ulu niu, e alanui haha ke ao uli. I hamakua ma ka kai akua, pōne ke ka noi o ka kou. Ua pili nā mako alakai nā hōku I hawa I nui e holo alakai pai hilo one ola. Ua kuholo mai pai I satawala. Ua pō ke ao e ao he pō. Ua ku aholo I ka komohana pai I lapana ke alahula e ke ali I ka lākawa. Ola ka pili mau ka e ha. Kalahea ka lani. Ke kai aha ka kai nā hoku o kai ka wa'a. Ini hao o ka pahule hua ola. E ka lia o paoa ola. E waikiki o ka hana moko ola. I na kai puna puni o mau ola. I ka awa aiwa I kai home I tau tira no pi li launa. I morea o ke hea hea kupuna. I tapu tapu a tea e ka aha ka pupu ka wa'a. E haapu aina wara hui. I bora bora vai ho, I maupiti ka paina kapu mua, ka alo miti aro ka e veli. Ma alo aitu kai hui, pa I rarotonga I ka malu malu atua. I aitu taku, aitu taki ako aina ala pai, aina kanaka ole. I wabai kahi e le ai ka pili, e manu atele aina kapu, o tau oe e ola senga oe e ofu oe. Leke ka pea nui, pa I ka pango pango ho I ka ali I wahine ke one. Awewe ka holo o ka ini ola, I apelika ki in aina hoa e koa honua, I ise malanga kiso puka mai ka velo koa. E na kupuna, e ana kupuna aku ni, kupi, kupi nai a ka leo nā kulu nā iwi, e nā iwi kupuna. Ua paku I hou he iwi kahi, ua ikea ua kupa nai a ola. Hoi hoi nā ale kua loa loa. He ki ola mā mā I ka holo. Ua holo o pau pau aho. Ua ku'u ka hanu. Ua ku'u ka nai. Ua ku'u ka lui. Ka lui nui noe ke aloha. He aloha pau ole ke aloha lauhui. Hui a ele nā hoko o ka lani. La lani noho me ka alakai. Ka I ia he wā holo lani. E tewa ka reo oe, e kai ku pa noho o ke lawe wa'a oe, e ke ali'i o ka nai ka lewa oe, o hoku lea oe, ua e he hoa, ua haalele he pili kana, e ola mau e ke ka pena ku'u ka pena, e ola mau e ka me e nui, ku'u ne e mui, e ola mau lo I ka inoa, O Papa Mau, pia I lu, me Chet Kalepa Baba Yan. O akau I ka hano I ka lani, kua kaa. E mahalo lama I ka I kako.
Mahalo ana kala. Mahalo nui everybody.
Yeah, many.
Thank you so much for that. Mahalo nui everybody. Aloha mai kako then. Take care. Be safe. Aloha. Enjoy your families. Wiho. Mahalo nui. See everybody next month.
Wiho.
Wiho ana kala. Wiho. Well, Waiola, wherever you at, we all are. We all Kalena, everybody. And again, mahalo, Akea, mahalo Christian. Mahalo Nui, yeah?
Hey, guys. Hey, we're live. What up?
Oh, we ho. Oh, we ho. Oh, we ho.
Oh, we ho.